Good afternoon. This meeting of the Senate Resources Committee will come to order at 4:21 p.m. in the Butch Rich Room 205. Today is Monday, March 16th. Members present so far are myself, Senator Machicki, Senator Rivak, Senator Kawasaki, and Senator Keel. We expect other members shortly, but we do have a quorum to conduct business. Please silence your cell phones. I apologize for the delay. We've got a lot of different business going on around the building right now. Two members are in leadership, and we had other committee business. So here we are. We have two items on our agenda today: SB 193, electric utility liability. Came up. It was heard on March 9th, where we had a presentation of the bill, took invited and public testimony, and set the bill aside for further consideration. Public testimony remains open. Today we have Reneva Moss to present a brief review of the bill. Reneva, if you can please come forward, identify yourself for the record, and proceed.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, my name is Reneva Moss, staff to Senator Coghill, and I have our intern, Christian English, with me. He's actually carrying the bill. So you want to explain the CS, Christian?
Sure. Chairman Machicki, members of the Senate Resources Committee. For the record, my name is Christian English, intern to Senator Coghill through the Ted Stevens Legislative Internship Program. And before you is the CS for SB 193. And there are really two major differences between this CS and its original counterpart. The first difference is that the CS isn't amending existing statute. It's creating a new section entirely. And that allows for the second difference, which is a furthering or expansion of language that helps to clarify the idea behind this bill, and that idea being that people are only responsible for actions that they've committed, and that's the whole goal behind this.
One moment, please. Can we get a motion, Senator Kawasaki?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that the CS for Senate Bill 193 Resources, that's 31 LS 1304/K, be used as the working document.
I'll object as we continue to hear.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Reneva Moss, staff to Senator Coghill. Senator Keel had expressed concerns about a certain scenario where an employee of a utility company went on private property with permission of that private property owner, and because of their actions, moved vegetation from the private property into the right-of-way and could cause damages or even a fire. If it was a large tree, fell into the power line and started a fire. This explains very clearly that 2A and B would make the utility responsible for those actions. There was also some concern about the definition of vegetation management plan, and I went to FERC, and FERC pointed out that each utility develops and implements its own vegetation management plan because it depends on the terrain, it depends on the climate. I think last week we heard testimony from Copper River Electric Association where they actually have north and south vegetation plans because of the change in climate and the growth. Also, in researching Senator Keel's concerns about the definition, I discovered that part of what SB 123, the Electric Reliability Organization, would do is give the new ERO established by 123 the authority to establish standards for different things, including a vegetation management plan. So we feel like this definition fits quite well because the whole purpose is to protect the reliability and the safety of the utility's electric facilities.
Thank you. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank the sponsor and his staff for working on the liability issue that I raised, and I look forward to looking further at the interface between this language and 123 on vegetation management plans as the bill moves forward.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Any questions from other members? I'm going to remove my objection to the CS. Is there any further objection? Seeing none, the CS is before us. I online, we also have Noah Klein from Legal Services, Andy Lehman from the Alaska Power Association, and Crystal Enkvist from the Alaska Power Association for questions. Is there any questions for any of those individuals from committee members? Seeing none, do you have anything further for us?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Moss. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, I see no one online for public testimony on Senate Bill 193. Is there anyone in the gallery here? Seeing no one, I'm going to close public testimony. With that, what is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for SB 193 version 31-LS1304-K from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Any objection? Seeing none, the bill moves from committee. Please, we'll take an at ease while we sign the paperwork.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We are back on record. The next bill before us is HB 203, Transportation of Live Crab, by Representative Gary Knopp. This will be the first hearing of this bill. With us to present the bill is Representative Knopp and his staff, Inti Harbison. Please proceed when you're ready.
Chair Machicki, Resource Members Committee, Senate Resource Committee members, I want to express my appreciation for your consideration of the bill, and not only my appreciation, Senator Machicki, but there are numerous communities out there that are also very appreciative, as well as the entire fishing industry, very appreciative of your committee's consideration of this bill. So I'm going to just open with a brief summary of the why for this bill and a little history and what it does, and I'm going to turn it over to Inti Maya Harbison, my committee aide, to just walk you through the details. But so take us back to 1960 era. There was legislation passed that had a prohibition on the surface transportation of live crab, specifically three species of live crab, and that was the Dungeness, the Tanner, and the King crab. For two reasons that prohibition was put in place. One is to ensure that they were landed in a port in Alaska and recorded on a fish harvest ticket to receive fees and dues on that product. We didn't want ships from outside coming up, catching these crab in Alaska waters, taking them right to Seattle and other ports in Alaska, collecting no revenue off of that species. Secondly, in the 60s, the method of transporting them by surface was in old antiquated cages that resulted in very high mortality rates in the 60s. So fast forward to 2000 to the 21st century, 2020 here where we are, and changes in technology has built new cages where these cages today are have salt water that is cooled and circulated, aerated, and we now are successful in keeping crab alive in excess of 30 days in these new transportation methods. what has happened is because of the prohibition on the transportation of live crab through surface means, and that's all this bill does is just to list that prohibition from surface means. But what has happened is that our markets, there's quite a demand for live crab in higher-end restaurants up and down the West Coast and other places. And because of that prohibition, we haven't been able to compete in them markets. And them markets have been infiltrated with foreign crab markets. And there's a lot of value in the end product of these crabs. So we're helping to recoup some of that market and bring a little more value to our end product. So with that, Senator Machicki, I believe there are numerous some people online who are actually subject matter experts in the transportation of this crab, and we will refer to them for our lifelines need to be. And I will mention, well, I won't mention, I'll let Intamayo Harbison talk to the fiscal notes on it. And so at this point, I'll turn it over to my committee aide.
Thank you, Representative Knoll.
And Senator Machicki, for the record, I think I failed to identify myself, so it is Representative Gary Knoll from District 30, just for the record. So.
You have a unique voice. I bet the recorders picked up on who we were speaking to. Mr. Harbison.
Good afternoon, Chair Machicki and members of the committee. As Representative Knopp has mentioned, I'm presenting House Bill 203, an act pertaining to the transportation of live crab. This bill would change Alaska Statute 1610-240 to remove restrictions on the surface transport of live crab. As the law is currently written, there are restrictions on the transport of certain crab species, except for when shipped live via air freight after prepackaging. House Bill 203 would change the language of Alaska Statute 1610-240 to allow for the surface transport of live crab after the product has first been landed in an Alaskan port and recorded on an Alaska Department of Fish and Game fish ticket. This bill has widespread support across the state, as shown by the numerous letters of support received from not just the crabbing industry, but also cities, processors, packaging companies, shipping companies, fishing associations, and many others. The Department of Public Safety states in their fiscal note, this bill provides an easier mechanism for enforcement to track and monitor crab. The Department of Fish and Game says that this legislation does not impact any of their programs, and the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation notes that they do not have any concerns with this bill. The current Alaska statute pertaining to the transport of live crab was written in the 1960s and revised again in 1996 due to concerns regarding loss of product, as well as concerns regarding toxins when transporting by surface rather than air. Since the initial passage of this legislation and subsequent amendments, there have been many breakthroughs in the safe transport of live crab species. These breakthroughs allow for the movement of live crab by surface transport while maintaining freshness of product. New technology allows for transport and storage of live crab while keeping the product in cooled and aerated saltwater for its entire journey to market. Furthermore, this method of transport allows for crab to be held up for a month or longer after harvest, if necessary, without significant loss of product or risk to consumers. As it currently stands, dead loss on the shipment of live crab out of Alaska can be high due to several factors, including improper packaging, delays to air shipment from weather, and a general lack of air shipment service to remote Alaskan crabbing communities. This bill would allow for high-quality Alaskan crab to reach markets despite the limitations to air freight. As live crab markets continue to expand around the globe, Alaskan has fallen behind due to limitations placed on the live export from the state. Red King crab is currently sold on live markets by other industries in other countries. This includes sales to the United States and Canada, as well as other prime markets who would be better served by the Alaskan crabbing industry. The ability to sell currently restricted species in a larger and more consistent volume would help to expand consumption of Alaskan crab, bring economic opportunity to Alaskan crabbing communities, and ultimately benefit the state and state industries as a whole. And I would also like to note that this bill passed the House unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harbison. Any questions from committee members for Representative Knopp or Mr. Harbison? Yes, Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question regarding Section B of the bill dealing with the DEC. Just reading the plain language, it says that if crab are taken at a time and location which the DEC does not require seafood processors to test the crab. I'm wondering when that actually is.
So, through the chair, Senator Kawasaki, in the original version of the bill, there was language that allowed DEC to perform PSP, PST testing on Dungeness crab only, basically because they live in shallower waters and were susceptible to the PSP toxins. What we did was not only did we want to keep that provision, but we also allowed provisions for DEC to test any species of crab with this legislation when they deemed necessary. So we kind of opened the door for all species. At some point in the future, should that be an issue, we didn't want to restrict their hands. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Other questions? Hey, we have several people online for testimony. I'm actually going to open public testimony on House Bill 203. And we will go to Jamie with the Alaska Bering Sea Crabbers. I'm not going to say your last name. You're going to say it for me on the record.
Thank you, Chairman Machike and committee members. I'm Jamie Goen with Alaska Bering Sea Crabbers. I'll be speaking to our letter of support for House Bill 203. Alaska Bering Sea Crabbers is a nonprofit trade association representing the harvesters of king, snow, and bear dye crab in the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands. We're actively involved in fisheries management, policy development, scientific research, and marketing, and we have approximately 70 vessels in our fleet that fish in the Bering Sea. Allowing live transport of all commercial species of crab via surface transport in addition to air transport would increase flexibility and market opportunities for Alaska's crab fisheries and communities. Given the variability in our crab stocks, fishermen look for ways to increase the value of their product, especially in times of lower catch levels like we have this year. Our bear dye fishery in the Bering Sea is closed. So this bill would allow increased value of product by bringing live fresh crab to markets in addition to processed crab. And we just want to reiterate our support for all commercial crab species, golden, red, and blue king crab, Opelio bear dye, and Dungeness. And with that, oh, and I also wanted to note that our position is in alignment with United Fishermen of Alaska that also supports this bill. And we're a board member on that body. And with that, I'd take any questions.
Thank you. Questions for Ms. Goen? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony very much. Next, we are going to Frank Kelty, Fishery Consultant, City of Unalaska.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Resource Committee. For the record, my name is Frank Kelty. I'm the Fisheries Consultant for the City of Unalaska. Like to point out I've been involved with the Bering Sea Crab Fisheries for many years. I was a plant manager for two seafood plants for 30 years. I was elected official for over 20 years for the City of Unalaska, and I also was chairman of the Unalaska ADF&G Fish and Game Advisory Committee for over 20 years. I've also served on many state and federal committees. I'm testifying in support for the City of Unalaska today on CHHB 203. We believe this bill is a win-win for all involved in developing a live crab market for low-volume and high-value species, such as Bering Sea, king crab, tanner crab, and for that matter, all the crab species. I'd like to point out that the City of Unalaska is probably the largest, is the largest crab processing community in Alaska and probably in the nation. And we would not be supporting this bill if we thought there was any problems with it, and we believe that there isn't any problems. we believe that there's been live crab shipments of Aleutian Island Golden King crab for many years and have had much success. We believe that the shipping of other crab species such as king crab and tanner crab, which will increase the value and will allow for development of new high-end markets for this product, we believe it's going to work out real good. There's special containers that have been set up to circulate seawater to keep these crabs alive, some species up to 30 days. I'd also like to point out that the Board of Fisheries last week made some changes to the tanner crab fisheries management plan the changes they made will greatly increase the opportunities for directed fisheries for the Bering Sea tanner crab, which is really a delicacy in Asia and also in the domestic markets. It's a really very crab product that's very, very highly thought of in the marketplace, and we've had many up and downs with closures. And so the action the Board of Fisheries deal would basically would really help the transportation by surface of live crab, tanner crab, and even into overseas markets when things settle down for what the problems we're facing right now with the virus situation. As a processor and a community person for many years, I've looked at the taxes that are paid locally for a landed product in a community. Also, state shared taxes will be paid. Landings of crab fish tickets will be recorded right at the location in the communities, not just on Alaska, but other communities such as St. Paul, Akatan, King Cove. We don't believe there'll be any impacts to the local workforce. Processing workers will be working to assist with the packaging and getting these crab into containers, and the containers will be shipped by the local ILWU workforce, so there's no impacts to our local workforce. So I testified at two or three of the committees in the other body, and there was no objections that I heard from anybody in the public. Also, the other body passed this bill unanimously. So in closing, I'd urge the Senate Resource Committee to move CSHB 203 out of committee. I believe that changing this legislation to allow shipping of Alaska crab species by surface transportation is in the best interest of companies involved in developing this new market and for the state of Alaska in supporting increased economic development in fisheries. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Kelty. Any questions for Mr. Kelty? I do will have a question. I don't know if it'll be for Jeremy or not, but I want to learn a little better description about the pods that make it technically where we'll lose the where the dead loss will be so dramatically reduced. Mr. Kelty, are you the person to talk about those new pods, or is one of the other?
Well, I think Mr. Paulson, who signed up, this was his project. But what I understand is they have special containers that are set up with circulating seawater to keep the product alive. And from what I understand, on using it on golden king crab, the dead loss percentage has been very, very low.
Thank you, Mr. Kelty. Mr. Paulson's online. Thanks for your testimony very much. Next, we will go to Edward Paulson from GKC Holdings, LLC.
Yeah, thank you, members of the Senate Resource Committee. My name is Edward Paulson, and I'm involved in crab harvesting and processing operations in Dutch Harbor. Thank you for scheduling the hearing on HB 203 and allowing me to testify in favor of the bill, which would allow all crab species to be transported live by sea. Over the past several years, I've been partnering with UNICE through my company, GKC Holdings, in Dutch Harbor to transport live golden king crab from Dutch Harbor to Seattle using new containerized technology shipped via container ship. Under current Alaska state statutes, it is allowable to ship golden king crab on a container ship, but not red king crab or barredine. Although it's been a challenge, we've gotten to the point where we have minimal mortality during the six-day journey with our golden king crab. So it takes roughly 6 days to go from Dutch Harbor down here to Seattle. When we do it right, we can get mortality that's well under 2%, even under 1%. And I'm happy to go into a little bit more of the detail in terms of the technology, what makes it possible. But basically, the technology we're using keeps the crab healthy as they are held in these large tanks of chilled and aerated seawater during the journey. It's a closed system. You can open the system to the incoming water, but on the journey, it's closed. The crab arrived in Seattle healthy enough that we have successfully airshipped the crab from Seattle after they arrived around the U.S. and even in Europe and Asia. Crab can only survive out of water for so long before they are damaged, which limits the ability of crab delivered in remote communities of Alaska to compete in the live crab business using air shipping. Dutch Harbor, which is home to the Bering Sea crab fleet, is further limited due to infrastructure and weather challenges, which makes air service unreliable. Markets around the world have shifted from cooked frozen crab to live, as seen by the Russians, who deliver directly to South Korea and China, as well as the West Coast Dungeness fishery, of which over half is sold in live form in some years. sales of live crab will continue to grow throughout the world. The reason is simple. As any crab fisherman or high-end chef knows, being able to cook your own crab and prepare it the way you want results in a better-tasting product with opportunities for creative preparations. And people are willing to pay a premium for this. Barred Eye and Red King Crab are also uniquely situated to benefit from these growing live markets. Red King Crab is already established as a live product around the world thanks to the Russians, and Barred Eye would be a unique new product in live form that fishermen know to be the most delicious of the crab caught in Alaska. There's no doubt that the coronavirus has had a significant impact on live crab sales recently, and it's now beginning to have an impact on frozen sales as well. Having said that, already live sales are beginning to recover in China as cases of the coronavirus continue to decline there and business gets back to normal or somewhat normal. Unfortunately, we don't have the opportunity to take advantage of these improving live markets for Red King Crab or Barred Eye unless the statute is modified. Time is of the essence, as having multiple product forms to sell to customers in times such as these can make all the difference. In summary, it's time for Alaskan Red King Crab and Barred Eye fishermen and others dependent upon these fisheries to be able to participate in live crab markets. This will result in higher prices benefiting crew, vessel owners, processors, and communities as these markets continue to develop. The work that my company, GKC Holdings, along with Unicy, have done over the past few years has shown that this new containerized technology can successfully ship live Golden King Crab out of remote Alaskan ports to market. Modifying the Alaskan statute as proposed by HB 203 will allow participants of the Barred Eye and Red King Crab fisheries to participate in the growing live crab markets. Thank you for your opportunity to testify today.
Thank you, Mr. Paulson. Any questions? I just have one. My understanding is that the pods refrigerate just above freezing and sort of take the crab to almost a hibernation state. Is that true?
Yes, Senator. I'm not sure who to identify you with, but Senator, the pods are chilled at near 32. Actually, because it's seawater, you could even go a little below freezing. 31 degrees is not a bad thing to do, depending on the species, to hibernate the animals. And you know, it's nice and dark for them as well, so they basically just chill out and hibernate. And they don't use very much oxygen. They're not a lot of ammonia because their metabolism is so slow. They're just basically dormant. So you actually can keep them in these closed systems with no new incoming water for 6 days. There's literally not even any filtration to remove the ammonia. That's how well it is able to hibernate the crab. And it's a combination of the chilled water and the really, really good aeration that does the job. So, this technology has been around a little while for, 10 to 15 years, but it's finally just been perfected, and I think it can continue to be improved upon, to be honest. So by allowing this statute to go forward, it kind of frees myself and others in this industry up to also invest in upgrading the technology, making it even better and more applicable to Alaska.
Thank you, Mr. Paulson. That was Chairman Chickey asking you that question. And I agree that we need to take all the obstacles out of the way. I mean, we've lost so much market share for other seafood going west that we need to remove all the obstacles we can to get us back to business as soon as possible. I think it's an important bill. Thank you. Next up, we have Jeremy Woodrow with ASME. Jeremy?
Thank you, Chairman Machicki and members of the Senate Resources Committee. For the record, my name is Jeremy Woodrow. I'm the Executive Director for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. I do have a prepared statement for you today, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have afterward. Alaska's crab species are known worldwide as premium products from an unrivaled ocean environment. Alaska's crab species, including king, pileo, barred eye, and dungeness, on an annual basis represent about 12% of the total value of all commercially harvested Alaska seafood species. This is despite accounting for just 1% of the total catch and volume. The first wholesale value of all crab species combined exceeds $300 million annually. Live crab sales, however, account for less than 1% of this total, which can be attributed to several factors, including shipping limitations. Alaska's crab is enjoyed by consumers both domestically and abroad. However, in every market where Alaska crab is available, a comparable species of crab harvested from a different region in the world is available as well. Often, Alaska crab species are undercut by cheaper foreign crab with more favorable trade terms. Increased competition and lower competitor prices negatively impact the market position of one of Alaska's most prized seafood species. And just for comparison, in the Chinese market alone, live king crab sold from Russia live is usually sold about three times the price as frozen Alaska king crab. Transportation technology for seafood has made vast improvements in recent years. As such, the ability to ship live crab via surface now exists as it never had before. This new technology means that more crab can be delivered fresh at a lower cost to the seafood company with less financial risk than associated with shipping live crab via air. Currently, the majority of Alaska crab is sold in the form of frozen or cooked products. However, at market, live crab is sold for significantly higher price, as I mentioned. HB 203 will correct Alaska Statute 1610-240 and allow Alaska processors the ability to capitalize on newfound shipping technology by expanding markets for the highest value product forms. HB 203 supports Alaska's largest private direct employer by providing the seafood industry with the tools necessary to compete in the global market. As a result, fishermen, processors, and communities across Alaska will benefit from the higher returns of this valuable product. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have for me today.
Questions for Mr. Woodrow? I don't have any, Jeremy, and I don't see anything from committee members. You covered it perfectly, so you answered all of our questions. Thank you for testifying, though.
Thank you.
Okay, we will leave public testimony open, and folks can send any written public testimony on the bill to sres@akleg.gov. Are there any other questions for the sponsor today? Senator Keel.
Mr. Chairman, if I could pose a question, maybe it might be better answered by Fish and Game, actually, but maybe I'll put it out here and have the opportunity for them to get us an answer to the sponsor's office to work with the department. Kind of the question about genetics. Fish and Game won't move a problem bear more than a couple hundred miles because they're concerned about it breeding where it doesn't belong. So are there, you know, every now and then, nobody wants it, but a container falls off, washes off the deck of a ship. Does Fish and Game have any biological concerns about, I don't know, I guess we'll call them crab spills. So if we could just hear from them on that, I think that would put the last possible concerns to rest.
Through the chair, Senator Keel.
That's okay, Senator Keel. We will have the department here for the next hearing, which I think is a fair question. But I don't want to put someone in the spot to answer a question that is not a biologist that probably should answer it. Senator Coghill.
The other thing that I was thinking about as I was listening to testimony, and I apologize for being late, Mr. Chairman, is the timing of the fishery and the timing of this bill. Does it need an effective date to match a timing?
Representative Knopp.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Knopp. Senator Coghill, I have no idea, but I will definitely answer to that question for you at the next bill hearing.
Thank you.
I think some of the gentlemen online would have been better equipped to answer that, but we will definitely have an answer for you.
Thank you for that. We can reach out for them. The absence of an immediate effective date may be a problem for the fishery, depending on the timing. So we'd be happy to add one if needed.
Great question. I just first time it's come up. So.
Okay, so we will have, we're going to hold the bill. We're going to keep public testimony open. If there are no other questions from committee members, thank you for bringing this forward. It's an important bill, and we will get back to it. For today, we'll set the bill aside and want to thank Nate Williams with the LIO and Chris Dickrell with Senate Records and my staff, Lynn Smith, for standing in for Conrad for this committee meeting. As there's no further business to come before the committee, this meeting is adjourned. Oh, before I do that, Senator Coghill arrived at 4:35 p.m. for the record, and we are adjourned at 4:55.